and obstetric fistula. And we're going to have an interview on obstetric fistula, what it is, what causes it, prevention, and much more. Right now, we have in the studio a consultant, Professor Oladapo Shitu, who is here to give us all the details we need on obstetric fistula. Stay tuned as Nneka Agwebu takes the interview.
Good morning, everybody, and it's good to be with you once again. Well, this is an awareness creation on International Day to End Obstetric Fistula, and we have with us a professor of gynecology and obstetrics, Ahmadu Bello University Teaching Hospital, ABUTH, Zaria. He's the person of Professor Oladapo Shitu, and this awareness is proudly supported by the Development Communications DEFCOMS Network under their maternal health project. Talking about fistula, you know, the world over, experts and development partners have called for prompt action to end obstetric fistula through provision of quality maternal health care and accountability mechanisms. According to the World Health Organization, WHO, about 2 million young women live with untreated obstetric fistula in Asia and sub-Saharan Africa. Well, I won't be the one doing the main talking. Our guest is very much around. So you're most welcome, Prof.
Thank you very much.
For starters, what is obstetric fistula?
Obstetric fistula is the name given to an abnormal communication between the internal private part of a woman and the urinary bladder in one instance. That one we call VVF, vesico-vaginal fistula. There's another type which involves the same private part of the woman and also the rectum. Rectum is where feces or stool is stored in an individual. So when this abnormal communication exists between the rectum and the private part of the woman, we call it recto-vaginal fistula. So these two types of abnormal communications, when they result from a difficult childbirth, then it is called obstetric fistula, because there are other causes of this abnormal communication also, but those ones that result from difficult childbirth are all referred to as obstetric fistula.
Okay, sir. This issue of obstetric fistula, I understand that the United Nations has been, you know, doing an awareness on it since 2003. But Nigeria even started way before then. Can you tell us more, sir?
Yes. Permit me to say that the problem of obstetric fistula and that of maternal death or maternal mortality are all one and the same. They are all related. Because a situation where a woman becomes pregnant, delivers, and dies during the process is very, very unfair to the woman and also her family. And as we have all known, many Nigerian women die as a result of just being pregnant and developing complications during the course of the pregnancies or childbirth. And for every woman who dies from childbirth-related factors, 15 others develop complications. Those who survive, 15 others develop complications, and one of those complications is the obstetric fistula. So you find that the same causes, the same factors that cause women to die needlessly during childbirth, during pregnancy, are the same factors that cause obstetric fistula.
Okay. Well, coming to that, what are these factors or causes that bring about obstetric fistula?
Yes. Permit me to also categorize them. There are direct causes, and there are also remote or contributory causes. Most obstetric fistulae are caused by what we call obstructed labor. It's a situation where a woman attempts to deliver herself, and the baby, the womb keeps contracting, trying to expel the baby down the private the birth canal, but unfortunately, the baby fails to come out. And the failure of the baby to come out is usually because the size of the baby is beyond the size of the waistline of the mother. Consequently, the baby gets jammed inside the womb and is unable to come out. And as long as the baby doesn't come out, the normal treatment or remedy is for the woman to quickly be availed of cesarean operation so that they can deliver the baby through the abdomen. So when this cesarean operation is not forthcoming or not available, the woman continues to labor. And we have seen women who have labored, been in labor for 3 or 4 days. Consequently, the baby dies. And whilst that obstruction continues, the head of the baby will compress the urinary bladder of the mother against her waist bones. And it will also compress the head of the baby against the rectum, against the waistline. So when that obstruction is eventually relieved, either through some form of operation or the head of the baby collapses after it has died and the baby is expelled, you find that a few days later, you know, the bladder, because of that compression that has stayed for so long, the tissue there will just slough away, and then a hole will develop between the bladder and the private part of the woman, or between the rectum and the private part of the woman. And then you find that urine will begin to leak from the bladder directly into the private part of the woman, down the legs of the woman. The same thing with the feces. From then on, she has no control over urine. She has no control over feces.
The executive director of the United Nations Population Fund, UNFPA, Dr. Babatunde Oshetinmeyin, in a release recently, said that about 20,000 girls below age 18 give birth in developing countries daily, and 9 in 10 of these births occur within marriage or union. And Nigeria is one of such countries where child marriage and harmful traditional practices are common, while percentage of birth delivered in a health facility is about 36%, according to Nigeria Demographic and Health Survey, NDHS, preliminary report 2013. Consequently, over 64% of these births take place at home and other places due to several factors, including inability to afford health services, distance to health facility, concern there may not be a female provider, attitude of health workers, amongst others. All of this, you know, means there's a medical reason, there's a social reason. So how do we begin to prevent obstetric fistula, sir?
Prevention of obstetric fistula would need the understanding of every body, both the members of the public, healthcare workers, and our leadership.